And I'm in Flemingsburg in Fleming County of Kentucky at 435 Fountain Avenue. And I'm talking to Alfred Bailey. Alfred, you were going to tell me who your great-grandparents were that you could name.
Well, my great-grandfather, Bailey, was he was from Bass County. His name was Gaines Bailey. And my great-grandfather on my, another great-grandfather was Alfred Eden. He was on my grandmother's side. That's a great-grandfather. And my mother's side, my great-grandfather was George Turner. And I can't remember my grandmother's name on that side. And on the Eden side, my great-grandmother was a Boyd. And my great-grandmother on my mother's side was a Wanford.
Wanford?
Uh-huh.
You want to spell it?
W-A-L-L-I-N-G-F-O-R-D. Not as many as I can name.
Are all of these people, did they live in Kentucky as far as you know?
They lived in Kentucky, some of them from Bass County and some of them from Mason County, and they were different parts, but they were all Kentuckians, really Kentuckians. Most of the people on my great-grandmother's side was from Bass County. And my father was raised in Bass County. And that's a Sherman Bridge over there. My daughter over, he crossed over from Fleming when it burned down now. The old landmark was there. But he was raised in Bass County.
Okay. Which of the people in your family, your fathers or your uncles, played music?
My grandfather Bailey, him and all of his brothers were banjo players. And he was a very fine banjo player, my father Bailey was. So they said. I never heard him play. He had quit and didn't take it up again.
Well,
he told me about playing for balls up to Lexington and everywhere when he was a boy. And they called them balls in those days, and they last for 3 days. He said rich people with fine horses and buggies and everything else. And on my grandmother Turner's side, they was two good fiddle players, on brothers to my great-grandfather. And most all of my mother's brothers and sisters could all strike a tune on something they wasn't real good on, but they did play some on music.
Where did they get the banjos that they played? Did any of them?
I couldn't tell you. I just heard that hearsay on them, but they was all banjo players. Well, many fiddle players.
Well, I sure appreciate hearing about your family and how they were musicians. I'd like to see any of the banjos if they have them. Do you have any of them still here?
No, one of them. No, I saw when I was up in Bass County, I saw one of the Baileys playing the banjo, and I don't know where he was any relation of mine or not, but it looked like one that he'd had a long time.
It might be one of your family. We're going to kind of move up to the present time now. How much time do you devote to playing your fiddle?
Well, not as much as I ought to. I'd say half an hour a day now, probably, on average. Sometimes maybe an hour.
Just depends on what kind of mood and what else you have to do that day.
That's right.
What kinds of things get you in the mood to play? Do you play at a certain time during the day, like after supper or before breakfast?
No, it's just really when I just take a notion to pick it up and play it. It might be any time of the day. Maybe early in the morning and she'll run me out of the house. I have to go to the bedroom sometimes to shut the door.
What prompts you to learn a new tune? A few minutes ago you were pointing out that you just learned a new tune. What prompts that?
I hear one and I like it, and it's a challenge to me, and I won't stop till I learn it.
What is your favorite tune right now?
Well, it's always has been Billy in the Lowground.
That's a winner, isn't it? It's always a winner.
It really always has been.
About how many tunes would you estimate that you know? I'm not asking you which tunes you would be willing to play today, but how many tunes have you learned or are you aware that you know?
Oh, I think we counted up one time, it's between 150 and 200.
Do you keep a list of teams?
No, we have some old lists around here, but we had them wrote down over 100 at one time. I don't know what happened to it. But I'm sure if I could come up with over 100 if I set my mind to it. It might take a day or two to do it, but keep it thinking of them. Okay.
I'd like for you to name some of the early tunes that you played. Not necessarily that they're old tunes as far as the list of tunes go, but what were the tunes that you learned early on?
The early ones was be the old Coon Dog and Gives a Fiddler a Dram and Soldier's Joy and Flop-Eared Mule and Swistlin' Rufus and be tunes like that and Turkey in the Straw. I can't think of them all right now, but I didn't know too many at first. I was limited to maybe 10 or 15 pieces for quite a while. And I played the Grand Hornpipe, I think. I remember back playing that. And I didn't have too many at that time, but I've added to them as I go along.
How do you remember the tunes that you know? How do you store them?
I just remember them when they come back to me when I guess I've got them recorded. Whenever I get, it takes me a time or two to run over maybe sometimes, but I can play them, and when I think of them, I go back and play them. I don't have time to practice on all of them because you don't play them the best when you do it the other way. Mm-hmm. Somebody just asks you to play one.
What kind of occasions do you play music right now? You were mentioning some other things that you were going to go do. I'd like for you to run down that list for me.
I play at the nursing homes, and I'm going to play at the library up here the 7th of June for Old Time Day, and I'm going to play for a picnic for the senior citizens out at the Industrial Park 31st of May. And now, of course, I'll be playing up to Moorhead, and then there'll be several places I'll be playing this summer. But I don't really look for places to play. I just play if somebody asks me now. I don't make it a practice to try to find places.
What would cause you to quit playing?
I wouldn't be able. It's so I couldn't play, but I'd stop.
When you go out and play now, are you a solo fiddler?
I didn't hear that.
Are you playing alone, or do you have people playing with you in a band?
I'm quite a bit at the nursing homes and things like that, because most of the people that you can get to play with you work during the week, and I'm better off to play alone than to play with somebody that I'm not used to. And if I can't get somebody I'm used to, I just play alone. Yeah.
What kind of things do you think, now this is kind of an odd question, what kinds of things influence the tunes that you play from day to day?
Well, just the ones that's a challenge to me, more or less. Some of the newer tunes I'm trying to learn, I like the challenge. The ones that I know so well, I don't care much about playing them. I neglect them for the newer ones.
Okay, how did you start fiddling?
Well, I started when I was 15 years old. I didn't have a fiddle until I was 15 years old, to be truthful with you, and my uncle bought me a fiddle. And that's when I started, and my wife's uncle, Harry Glasscock, taught me how to tune it and showed me the keys on it. He had a few lessons on the fiddle, and so he was the one who got me started to help me out to get started, and I broke, of course, a sack full of strings to learn how to tune it, but I finally learned how.
So that's how you got the fiddle that was yours. What was the very first tune you tried to learn?
Well, Aunt Rhody. My granddaughter thinks that's the prettiest piece on there.
Who showed you the most tunes during that time? You know, which uncle or
well,
which
person? Her uncle that showed me. Well, he showed me more than anybody else. But then after that, I took it up on my own. Everybody I could watch, I'd get around a good fiddle player, and I'd stand and watch him and see what he done. And I tried to learn it. And I didn't care who he was. I was out to learn. And they had a lot of fiddle players on the radio then that were real good. I mean, the very best, McMichin and God Blakeman and Nancy the Indian and... And I can't name them all. Curly Fox. You could tune in any radio station in the morning, you'd get some good fiddle players. And Charlie Linville and Carl Kottner. Charlie Linville's a fine fiddle player, come from up here in Paris, and I learned a lot from him. I'm a great eagle. I play. That's how I've got a lick in there that I never heard anybody else use, only him, and I use in the Grey Eagle.
And it was Charlie Linville?
Charlie Linville.
You heard him on the radio, and he's from Paris, Kentucky?
Yes, and I've seen him play. He played over WLW with Paul and Ma McCormick. And I went to see him in Maysville at Russell Theater. He was a fine fiddle player. He wasn't rated as high as some of them maybe, but I thought it was an awful good one.
You met Clayton McMichen one time. Would you tell me about that?
I met him in Maysville, and they had a big contest and court day every year down there for about 12, 15 years. And they had a big crowd of people over here, 15 or 20,000 people, who come from three or four states. And they brought in Clayton McMichen one year, and I met Clayton McMichen and played against him in the Maysville fiddling contest. And he was real nice and treated me real nice. And he won first place, and I won second.
I'd be real proud of that if I were you.
Well, I was. I told him so. It's a great honor to play against him, is what I told him. And he invited me to come to see him, but I never did get there. He passed away before I ever got to go see him. Mm-hmm. But I played something like Click McMichen. I did copy after him some. I was a copycat, and he knew that the way I played.
Where was the first place that you played in a more public setting? I assume you probably played at home for several years. You got your fiddle when you were 15. How long was it before you found yourself out in a performance situation?
Okay, it was 3 years. I played, and I would come over here to town, and they had a shoe shop up here. I'd play some once in a while. But I never played out anywhere to speak of. Norman Yazell in Plumbinsburg here had a coon hunter's band, they called it. And he run off a fiddle player, and somebody told him, said, there's a kid out from Forest Creek that lived out to Poplar Grove that plays the fiddle. And said, you go out there and get him. And so he drove up, and I don't know if I'd come and help him fiddle. I said, I'm not good enough for that. I can't do that. He said, yes, you can. And I said, I was scared to death. And I tried to get out of it the way I could, but he told me to come. And the place I was supposed to play is right, I can point it out to you now, it's right over the hill here at a colored church down here. They was having a fish fry. And I played with his band down there that night. It was the first time I'd played out from home.
Were you scared?
Scared to death. And then I played from then on for dances, and we put on appearances and everything else. And I even got to play with Lazy Jim Day. We played with us in one show. Did you ever hear Lazy Jim Day at WLW? He was up here, and we put on a hip at the high school for the farmers. And after he heard me, they wanted to hire me at WLW to play down there, but I couldn't go. I was about ready to go to the Army at that time, 1942. And then I played there at Lexington. Jimmy Hazelwood wanted to give me a job of playing at Lexington on WLAP. At that time, he was playing up there. That's where Charlie Linville did play quite a bit up at Lexington.
So, Charlie Linville's not a name that I know.
No.
Could you tell me who he was?
He's in Florida now. They say selling cars, but he was very popular at that time. As far as a fiddle player, and of course, no, the fiddle players are too popular. They don't have the reputation of good singers or something like that. But I don't know where you'd find him at now. He'd be like me, he'd be older.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned some names of tunes that I thought was interesting a while ago. You played a tune for me that you called Rachel. Could you tell me who you learned it from, or about when you learned it, and something about the tune?
I learned it down to Rough River, and I didn't know the name of it. But I heard this lady sing about Rachel down to Nashville, Cooper. She sang about Andrew Jackson's wife and being named Rachel. And then I was listening to the Nashville program, and they played this fiddle tune they called Rachel. I'm sure it comes from the same name, probably. And That's how I learned it. I learned it at Rough River, but I didn't know what it was until I found out the name of it when they played it over Nashville.
So that's an old tune that's new to you, isn't it?
Yes, it's an old Southern tune, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Thompson's Reel a few minutes ago, but you said that other people sometimes call it another name.
We call it Miller's Reel. Some people do.
Well, do they play it in G or in A?
Well, I think I play it in A. I'm not pretty sure. I can't remember for sure. I think I play it in A. Yeah, I'm sure I do. Yeah, I know I do. Yes.
When you were 40, what place did fiddling have in your day-to-day life?
None.
Why?
I quit. I was working. After the World War II, I come out in 1946 or 45, and didn't fiddle much during the war. Didn't have a chance. That was over 3 years, and then I come out in 46, and I had to fiddle, and I set it in the corner, and I'd play it maybe once every 6 months, and it would sound awful to me, because I was working hard, trying to get us a home we were, and it went on that way till 1963, I believe it was. I had a problem with my heart. Got acting up on me, and they limit me on my work that year, and I said, well, there's nothing else for me to do. I've got to get the fiddle down and see what I can do with it. Place I can play the Irish horse woman. And that's how come it started back, and I've kept on ever since. I couldn't work without half what I used to, and so I had to have something else to do, and I never stopped.
I think it's interesting what you're saying about the time and the energy that you're putting in on a working situation. It may not be the same for you, but I have noticed that when I'm doing a lot of projects around that I'm using my hands, like for painting and those kind of things, it almost keeps my hands so sore that I don't have the agility to enjoy playing. Do you think that has anything to do, the actual soreness of your hands?
Well, it would, yes. If you worked hard and had them sore and all bruised up it would, but of course I don't now. Then I was the farming, my hands was rough and clumsy and sore, as you say. And that's the reason when I'd pick it up about every 6 months, it had sounded awful to me. I lost all my timing. It took me so long to get back to where I could think fast enough. And I thought I never would get that. You have to think fast, and you have to think ahead of what you're playing. You know that. And I'd lost all that. And it took a long time. And a lot of people said I'd never come back when I started. I said, he's gone as far as he'll go. But then they all changed their mind.
Interesting thought. Did fiddling turn out to be a money maker for you?
No, ma'am. Just a lot. We've got to eat a lot of places with the governor and anybody anywhere you can think of.
You'd say it improved your social life. It broadened the
social life, and we got a little traveling money. But as far as being profitable, it wasn't too profitable. I got some money for playing for dances. But I never made a lot out of fiddle playing. I got paid to go to Washington when I went up there, but it wasn't very profitable. I mean, just paid my expenses and give me some money.
Now, tell me about when you were playing and where it was that you were whenever you met Ralph Rensselaer and what happened after that. That's an interesting story.
Well, I saw a piece in the papers at a showdown fiddling contest in Lawrenceburg, which I'd played in Lawrenceburg before, and it's about 100 miles from here, and I'd had an operation, and I wasn't well. I was still weak, and I told my wife I was going to Lawrenceburg to the fiddling contest. She said, you can't go. You're not able. And I said, well, I'm going to get somebody. And I said, if my son-in-law don't drive, I'll get somebody else. We talked him into going. And so we went, and I signed up to play the fiddle. But when we got there, it was the biggest crowd I'd ever saw at Lawrenceburg. I mean, the cars were parked their way, like never found a place to park. And I didn't know what was going on. And we got in there, and they had, I guess everybody else knew about this contest. But anyhow, they started, and they had about 40 acts of singers and then bands playing. And during when they first started, they brought these two gentlemen in, and they give them a choice seat and set them down there. And so after a while, I said, who is that? And they said, they're from the Smithsonian Institute. Here looking for talent for the represent Kentucky and Kentucky Folk Festival. And I thought, well, big deal. I didn't think no more about it. And they sat there like there was no show going on. I mean, they, well, Tom, I noticed them. And the fiddle players come up that night at 11 o'clock, and I think they was 10 or 12. There was some good fiddle players there from Cincinnati and Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I drove number three and come up and to play, and I went back to the stage and come on out to play, and started playing the Goodnight Waltz. And my son-in-law said they got up and started walking down to the stage, which I didn't know what there was to fill off in it, I guess. And I played that, then I played Martha Campbell, and when I come off, I met him in someone on the stage. There's a room between there and the stairs, and I met him, and they said, "Do you want to go to Washington?" And I said, "What do you mean, go to Washington?" They said, "Go to Washington and represent Kentucky." And I said, "Well, I guess so, as far as I know." And they said, "Well, we should record 10 or 12 pieces, and of course, you probably get to go." And I said, "Okay." So that's how it happened. But he did want to know where I learned Martha Campbell.
Where did you learn Martha Campbell?
I learned it from one of the best fiddle players in Kentucky.
Who's that?
George Lee Hawkins.
And who is George Lee Hawkins? I have heard that name, and I do not know who this person is or where they live.
He's in Louisville now in the Masonic home. But he was a very fine fiddle player, and that's who I learned it from. But I added the backlash in it to... this man and me figured that one out. He didn't have that in it, but he could really play Martha Campbell. Mr. Hawkins could. He could play a lot of pieces at that time.
Did you learn any more pieces from George Lee Hawkins?
Oh, yes. Yeah, I've got lots of pieces I know I learned from George Lee Hawkins.
Name a few of them,
well,
if you...
One of them.
Oh, is New Money one of his pieces? See, I've heard other people play New Money, but I've never heard New Punch. I've never heard it played out of Kentucky.
Yeah, that's true. And he played a lot of hornpipes I never did learn, which I wished I could. I play at them, but I don't play them real good. He played the high-level hornpipe, and a lot of my hornpipes, I don't think anybody could ever equal him when he was at himself, really. Right. But he got so he had a stroke on one hand, and he couldn't work his fingers. But and leather breeches, I mean, I learned that from George Lee Hawkins. And Brickyard Joe, one of his pieces. And there's a lot of pieces I learned from George Lee, and he showed me a lot on how to play it. I never thought when I was a boy I could ever fiddle like George Lee Hawkins, but I did beat him in a lot of contests. So not bragging about it, but He was still, I think, one of the best fiddle players I ever heard.
Where did George Lee Hawkins live when he was around here?
Bass County. In Camilla, Bass County.
Over where your great-grandparents live now.
A lot of other.
Yeah. Do you know any other musicians from Bath County?
Mr. Carlton Rollins, I was telling you about. He has passed away, been about 15 years ago. He was a fine fiddle player, too. And he taught me a lot on how to play.
Which tunes did you get from him, if you happen to remember?
Flowers of Edinburgh, and they say, I can't name you too many, but anyhow, he played about all the pieces he played at that time, but he helped me on them. I mean, what he knew were different from what I knew, we put together.
What's your favorite kind of playing situation right now? What kind of audience or room or... What is the ideal performing situation that you feel like you do the best in?
Well, I like to play anywhere that I think people are enjoying hearing me. If they enjoy hearing me, and if I don't, I just don't rather not play. It don't matter how large or how small the audience is, if I think the people enjoy hearing me, I like to play.
You mentioned that a few minutes ago about the women's club and the project that they had for the hospital here in Flemingsburg. What were those dances like that you played for?
That was a long time ago, and those dances danced in sets and had callers, and they'd be 45 people dancing at a time, maybe three different sets on that gymnasium floor, and we had a speaker at each end. We had a microphone and a speaker. And they used the proceeds, what they didn't give us, for the hospital fund, which there was nothing for people to go to the hospital on then, no government help or anything. Nobody got to go much anyhow. And I did that for, I'd say, 4 or 5 years before I went to World War II. We played every Saturday night up here. And I'd play every year for a fox hunters dance there in high school every year when they have their fox hunters meeting here.
Were they really here to hunt foxes?
Yes,
or?
And they come from several states. And I played in Bass County until I got so unable, they always wanted me to play for the fox hunters.
Did they still come and hunt the foxes? When is that?
That's in the fall. It'll be this October or November. But I had to give it up, and so I haven't played. But I have played for a lot of them.
You've played for a contest here and there. Would you like to name some of the places that you've played and maybe what it feels like to be in a judging situation?
Well, a judging situation is very uncomfortable and lose you a lot of friends. Which I never did do very much of as judging. But I played in a lot of contests. I'd be afraid to say how many. I expect I've played in probably 50 or more. And I've won a lot. I've won, I think, 15 first places. And I've placed in maybe 30 others. And I've lost in maybe, I don't know how many others. But I wound up in fourth and fifth place a lot of times when I never got anything, really. But if you're very fortunate to win anything in the fiddling contest, it's not easy to win.
Would you rather have the trophy or prize money?
Well, I always preferred the trophy, even I needed the money. Sometimes they gave both, sometimes they just gave one. So is it? I enjoyed winning either way.
Mm-hmm. He's had an opportunity to meet Mark O'Connor. Would you tell me where that was, and did you play in the contest that he played in, and how that was?
Yeah, I played in there. No, I didn't play against him. I played in, yes, I did, that first time I played against him. Of course, I didn't have a chance, but it was at Rough River, Rough River State Park. Mm-hmm. And I played in the contest against him, but nobody had a chance against Mark O'Connor. But there were some good fiddle players there, but he was not a fine fiddle player. Then I got to talk to his mother, and she told me who taught him and all.
Who did teach him, according to his mother?
I can't think of the lady's last name, but she was up to Washington when we were up there. Vivian, I can't think of her last name, from Seattle, Washington.
There's a lot of good fiddlers almost in every state.
She was a fine fiddle player. Yes, she was. Her and her husband both have played music. She taught music.
Well, let's see. What have I left out? What have I not asked you that you'd like to comment on?
I don't know. Maybe commented too much already.
Well, I sure appreciate you sitting down here with me and talking through this.
Well, I appreciate you being here, and I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to talk about music and join, be with musicians. Anybody can play music, well, I like.
Okay.